And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Ethnobotany. You may be unfamiliar with that term. When today's feature of the week, we'll share what it has to do with medicines, nature's pharmacy, and our general health. My guest today is Stephen King, who is an ethnobotanist here locally. I'm Cindy Menzel, by the way. So, Stephen, let's start here, if you don't mind. Your research in plant-based healing has led to groundbreaking developments in the pharmaceutical industry. What kind of drugs or diseases might we be aware of that are based on your research and your plant-based information research?
Well, thanks, Cindy. You know, in fact, our drugs have been only distributed in a relatively minor fashion up to now, but there's an awful lot of drugs that your listeners are likely maybe familiar with that have come from plants. Anybody who's managing epilepsy may be familiar with a drug called Epidiolex that comes from, believe it or not, the cannabis plant that helps manage certain kinds of epilepsy very effectively. Anybody who's ever taken painkillers or analgesics to help for pain from dental extraction or any sort of surgical thing, or often taking drugs derived from morphine used by people, indigenous people originally in China and other parts of the planet. Anybody that's ever been seasick and had to take scopolamine or scopolamine patches, that's developed from plants used by people. So many, many drugs have come from plants that were taught to us by indigenous people, and that's what ethnobotany in part studies.
So I understand you're a pioneer in the integration of this traditional botanical knowledge with modern medicine and such. Is that based on your adventures in Amazon and the rainforest? And because I understand you've traveled to some exotic and potentially dangerous locations to in search of these medicinal plants.
That's true. I've traipsed around the Amazon rainforest and had some adventures, West Africa, East Africa, parts of Southeast Asia, Indonesia. Yes, that's true. Going to remote places, working with healers in remote villages, some places where there are certain challenges to do with wild animals, snakes, local people that are not always happy about having foreigners present. So, yes, it's not always like going on a vacation.
How do you go in and do that? How do you work with the indigenous people there, and what have you learned from them?
We spend oftentimes months or years in advance seeking permission, discussing our interest. We go in looking for specific kinds of treatments for things like diabetes or things to help with fungal infections or things to help with mental issues, depression, anxiety. And we interview healers about what plants they use, and we try and figure out if some of those plants might be able to be translated into medicines that you and I can take.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I know you are doing talks around town. For example, you'll be at the Odd Fellows talking about, from Nature's Pharmacy, how indigenous knowledge spurs modern medicine and drug discovery. But Nature's Pharmacy, I love that term. So can you tell us about some of the talks you're doing at the Odd Fellows? Is it what is it about, and who else is going to be there?
Well, I'm going to be giving a talk about some of the research we've done in the Peruvian Amazon of South America over the last 35 years, working with a variety of different indigenous groups and how they use various plants to treat different diseases. I'll talk about one in particular that became an FDA-approved drug. And actually, it's a drug approved from a plant. It is not synthetic. It is extracted from the plant and then goes right into the treatment directly, no synthetic things made. There'll be other person there that night speaking, Suzanne Elliott, who's a local herbalist on the coast, who's one of the most knowledgeable and gifted herbalists in the United States of America. So we have some amazing people living right here on the coast.
You're absolutely right. I've heard great things about Suzanne and the herbalists. This sounds really intriguing, your talks. Now, how did you get involved in this field, especially with the drugs, the plant-based research, traveling to the Amazon? What spurred you to get involved in that in the first place?
You know, I just had a personal interest after reading a book at the age of 13 about a gentleman who was lost in the Peruvian Amazon. It got me sort of intrigued. And then I found out there was this whole field of ethnobotany, and someone at Harvard named Schultes, who was the leader of that field, he was interested in looking at plants for medicine. I started learning more about his work and then ultimately helped start a company doing this about 35 years ago.
And is that the company, is that the Jaguar Health?
That is correct.
Plant-based botanical knowledge and medicines, difference between plant and synthetic medicines that we might want to take. So for some of the diseases you talked about, what would be the benefit up or the of doing plant versus synthetic or the other way around?
Well, you know, most drugs that we take are synthetic. They're made in a factory with chemicals, and they're based on a great deal of research and approved by the FDA. But many people are interested in taking more natural, nature-based medicines, and oftentimes the U.S. FDA doesn't approve those drugs. Many drugs have come from plants, but then they make them synthetically. The one that we've developed and is being utilized by people is directly from the plant, grown by people in South America, and simply purified and then put into its pill. So many people prefer, if they can find things that are natural, to take natural things. And that's what's fun about Suzanne Elliott's work and talk as well, is obviously many plants can just be taken as they are. You don't need to make them into drugs. But some work well as highly studied pharmaceuticals as well.
Based on your research, what should the average consumer know about, well, consumer of pharmaceuticals? So
yeah.
what do you think we should know and understand about pharmaceuticals based on your research?
Based on my research, drugs that come from plants can be very effective and very safe. Not all drugs from plants are necessarily safe, which is why doctors have to prescribe them in certain doses. So what we can learn is sometimes your doctor, your family doctor, needs to prescribe something, and that'll help you. Sometimes someone like Suzanne Elliott can help you find something to go to a New Leaf or some local store and purchase a plant-based medicine, and it's just as effective at times as a pharmaceutical.
Fascinating. So your research also involves sustainability, collaborating with local communities, I presume, like in the indigenous countries that you are into. What should our listeners know and understand about that?
What they would probably like to know is that as communities plant and harvest and manage plants for medicine and sell them, they also manage to conserve their environment, make a living doing that, help stop deforestation, and actually help lead to some solutions to climate change. So we're all sort of connected. If we can help people living in the rainforest make a living by doing things that they're already accustomed to doing with plants they're familiar with, you and I will be the beneficiaries of perhaps the medicine, but also the planet will be a beneficiary of less climate change and more conservation of exquisite tropical rainforests.
In your research, have there been some ethical considerations involving bringing those ancient practices and to the global
market? Absolutely. There's massive ethical issues associated with working with traditional knowledge and indigenous people. There needs to be benefit sharing to those people and those communities. I'll be talking about that. There needs to be respect for the sacred plants. There needs to be a way for that exchange to be a reciprocal, so there's a benefit going in both ways. That's a very big issue, has not always been done that way in the last century, but absolutely is the way it has to be done.
The sustainability, the respectful collaboration, if you will, it sounds like there's a crucial balance, if you will, between commerce and conservation?
Absolutely, that's absolutely correct. There is a balance between commerce and conservation, and that requires that people do research on how to do things in a sustainable way that will be beneficial to the communities, the ecosystems, and the forest. And you said exactly right. It has to be a reciprocal back and forth positive exchange.
Okay. One last question then. What can we learn from other world cultures in regarding to diet and wellness practices?
We can learn from other cultures that healthy water, air, exercise, healthy food plants that are grown locally can be the most important ways to maintain and manage one's health, and that the reduction of highly processed foods with lots of sugars and or corn syrups, those sorts of things, are not necessarily good for our bodies, and many cultures of the world do not utilize those and eat healthy, natural food, and that's what we ideally would do if we can.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Stephen King. This is Feature of the Week, and I'm Cindy Menzel.
Our thanks to Cindy Menzel for an interesting health-related feature story of the week. And this reminder, coming up later this hour in Radio Magazine, we will have Keeping Pace with Your Health and contributor Barry Canty speaking on the subject of sitting. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.